This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A slow harvest will most likely lead to a reduced amount of planted acres for wheat. I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, as we look at the latest USDA crop progress numbers, it shows that we're continuing to struggle to get the crop in the ground in the eastern soft red winter wheat belt. The plains crop looks very good. We're planting and making good progress there. Overall, we're still seeing the delayed planting in the Midwest be a problem with the wet fall that we've had. Winter wheat delays in closely watched states, probably focused most on Illinois, where just 41% of the crop has been planted as of Sunday. That's versus a five-year average of 75%. When we look at Indiana, two-thirds of the crop is planted. We'd normally be about three-fourths planted. Michigan, 77% versus 86. Missouri, 38% versus 55. So the primary delays at this point are Missouri and Illinois, and the concerns now are how many acres will we lose? Will farmers just simply give up on planting some of these acres due to the slow soybean harvest that has made it difficult to turn around and double crop wheat behind soybeans? Now, unfortunately, we have about 140-day supply surplus from old crop supplies, so if we do reduce acreage, it doesn't necessarily translate into immediate rally in the wheat prices, but it does start to tighten up the supplies as we look toward the 2015 crop and should help provide a floor. And if corn and soybeans resume their downward ways, it may help wheat hold the recent bottoms and maybe chop sideways for a period of time.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. As data becomes more and more integrated into agriculture, many farmers have concerns of how their farm-level information is being used. A recent survey by the American Farm Bureau concludes farmers' and ranchers' top concerns with data are security, how it's used, who will use it, and what they will do with it. Farm Bureau economist Matthew Erickson says farmers are often unaware of how their information is used.
So over 82% of farmers are unaware of all the ways a company intends to use their farm data. These issues are real in the countryside. And one of the things that we're doing when we have these conversations with these different companies, we're asking the tough questions. And hopefully by using the voice of the farmer through this survey, these issues get addressed.
Erickson says farmers are concerned with protecting their data.
Some of the top concerns were, how is their data being used by each company and who is it being shared with? One of the other concerns, too, is liability. In the case of a data breach, who is liable for their farm data? And could misuse of their data be used against them if not obtained legally? And the third question being, is my data anonymous so it cannot be traced back to their site-specific operation?
However, the more than 3,000 farmers who responded to the survey indicated data can help their operations. Erickson says it's important to remember data can help revolutionize the industry.
For instance, farmers indicated the use of precision technologies reduced their input costs by an average of 15%, while on the other hand, increasing their crop yields by an average of 13%. So those are really two big things that precision technologies do for farmers to increase their bottom line.
If you like, you can find out more about the survey online at fb.org/newsroom. The 2014 National FFA Convention and Expo continues the second year of its three-year run in Louisville today. More than 60,000 FFA members from throughout the United States are expected at this year's convention and expo that goes through November 1st. Go All Out is the theme of this year's convention and expo. Nine general sessions will draw FFA members together at the Kentucky Exposition Center. Students will have countless opportunities to engage exhibitors from more than 450 corporations, organizations, and colleges at the expo inside the center. Throughout the week, students will attend more than 85 leadership and personal growth workshops. FFA members will also tour industry destinations, including Papa John's International Headquarters, Ford's Louisville Assembly Plant, Churchill Downs, and more. FFA members will also participate in community service initiatives throughout the week. Students will help beautify the city, volunteer at a local food bank, harvest and distribute locally grown produce, package meals for families in need, and more. Again, the 2014 National FFA Convention is taking place today, October 29th through November 1st. On Tuesday, University of Illinois Extension held a cover crop field day at the Sheeter Farm just south of Brighton. I spoke with Adelaide Sheeter about a very interesting project he's working on.
Cover crops to me were introduced when my dad came back from a national no-till convention up in Springfield. And he brought back some samples, and I was kind of interested in it. And my SAE, which is a supervised agriculture experience, it was brought to me by my brother, and I kind of continued the tradition behind it. It's really interesting in itself. I have a bale-burning stove. I take the corn stover and actually the whole corn plant, bale it up, and then burn the stove to heat the shop. But what's kind of interesting is I realized that's taken off all the organic matter off of the soil, and I figured that was kind of a bad thing to do to the environment. Different regulations and stuff like that was a big part to deal to me. So I got into cover crops, started planting cover crops. This is actually my first year planting cover crops, and this is the first year I took actually off bales. But it was there for me to put organic material back into the ground, make some nitrogen to help the corn grow the next year, and also, more importantly, to help erosion. Erosion is the biggest problem nowadays. Everybody tills. All the topsoil just washes away down the ditches, and nobody really realizes that. That's the biggest part about cover crops. Cover crops, they will last there for the whole entire winter until you physically kill them to plant your cash crops. They are the biggest part of what makes a field green. The cover crop slogans, don't farm naked, plant cover crops, just because the field will be naked out in the winter and erosion would happen and you get a ton of ditches. But out here on my plot, I have very few. I only have like 4. When if I didn't plant cover crops, I'd have about 8 or 10 that some guy would have to go and blade in the winter before we take the planters over them.
And tell us a little bit of the specifics of your cover crop project. I saw you have about 5 different areas where you're really experimenting with 5 different types of cover crop methods.
I use a no-till drill. It's a 15-foot drill. 1 and 2 were provided by Center Seeds. Mike Schutte, he's out of Breeze, Illinois from Central Seeds, and he's a great guy to have around. He'll help you out with anything you need. He's the local person around us, so it's also great to help out like a local community, even though it's like 1 or 2 away. It's not really that far, and he's the closest guy here, and he knows a lot about cover crops. If you tell him what you're going to do and what chemicals you put down, then that will actually benefit you because different cover crops will find the chemical, and it'll kill them. Instantaneously. So you got to watch out what different herbicides and residuals you use with cover crops. It can be come out to haunt you at the end. I have about 5 different mixes. 1 and 2, like I said, were provided by Center Seeds. 3 and 4 were different mixes with EcoTill radish and ryegrass. 4 is my favorite mix out of all of them. It's a legume. A legume puts nitrogen back into the ground. For instance, beans are an example of a legume. But the 2 legumes I put in there were EcoTill radish and crimson clover. They'll put nitrogen back in the ground. So I look forward to seeing that the corn I plant on top of 4 will actually be greener and be taller than the rest of it.
And how is this whole project going for you so far? Is it going as expected? I heard that you are drawing quite a bit of attention and you even had the task force that's being put together to tackle the hypoxia region come out here and take a look at things.
Yes, the epoxy task force, they came from all around the nation. They're mostly focused on the Chesapeake Bay because the Chesapeake Bay is a big issue with all the poultry farmers around there and all the manure washing in, basically wiping out the Chesapeake Bay. So they came out here and they were pretty excited about coming out here. They never heard of it. It was kind of a new thing. People been talking about it, but they really didn't have that one key thing. And that was the plots there. The plots there is what drives everybody home because you actually get to see the plant grow and it kind of feel like if you were that plant, you were helping the environment in sort of a weird way. But it's also kind of interesting too because the federal task force, they do a lot of work through helping emission regulations and that, like the WOTUS thing. That's a good idea by itself, but I'm afraid that the EPA is just going to go way too far. But maybe if they involve the cause that have cover crops in them, that will help ease the pain and the burden or the swallow that farmers have to take in order to change their ways. Like I said, we're 100% no-till, and this is like our first year planting cover crops. My dad used to plant cover crops back before I was even around, and he took and told me that it was a big waste of time for him. He never had very much success, but I hope to change the tides here and hopefully bring in a new era in agriculture.
All right, very good. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with us about your project or about the farm in general?
our farming operations is pretty unique in itself. Like I said, it's 100% no-till, and the cover crops that we're planting are pretty interesting in itself. That draws attention from just about anywhere. I have local school kids coming out. They're very enthused about what they're learning in classroom. So instead of seeing it in actual a picture on the book, they're actually getting to feel them, touch them, and actually get to know what it is, what cover crops are all about, and hopefully bring a new dimension to like consumers that will eventually work in marketing and jobs like that. Thus, say, I really know what my product comes through, and I can really trust that Illinois agriculture can make my product feel good or safer.
Again, that was Adelaide Sheeter speaking about his Cover Crops SAE project. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.